Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Live commentaries and podcasts. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC Supporters Association. This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Episode 2 of season 22-23. Welcome, Spencer. Pete's he's ill tonight. He's got a headache, hasn't he?
Diddums.
He's got a headache. So this is the first time we've done a podcast actually in person rather than using Zoom. I think it's just because of time constraints and doing some interviews tonight. It's, we're sitting in the press box here on Woodside Road while the players are training in front of us.
Watching training's like sitting in the VIP box.
It is indeed, yeah, it is. But first month complete in the National League South, a new league, a new season. Unbeaten, sixth in the league as we speak. It's not a bad start, is it?
Well, if you'd said six games unbeaten into the season, end of August, with no losses, you'd taken it all day long. We'd have been your hand off just after Dover.
Yeah.
Being your hand off, not being the right phrase to use for Dover.
I don't think we should use violence and Dover in the same word, because we all know what happened in Dover. More on that later with Barry Hunter. But no one knew what to expect, did they? No one knew what to expect. It's a brand new league, you know, whereas we're in Eastme and we knew what the teams were about. I mean, I think, as you say, been given sixth position after a month with unbeaten in the National South playing some pretty decent teams, I'd take that.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, the teams we've played so far, you know, they all seem strong, physical teams. I think they're more interested in the dark arts of football rather than the footballing skill side, which, you know, I think we're showing a few of these teams a lesson of how to play actual football.
Yeah, I mean, the first noticeable thing that I've noticed, and I'm sure a lot of the fans when we talked after, is the physicality of this league. You can tell, you know, how much stronger the defenders are. They like to put the bodies behind the ball, whereas it's stumping our free-flowing attacking football, especially at home. Is that a surprise to you, or do you think that's what was expected?
Yeah, it's, in a way, it's a massive mark of respect that as a newly promoted team, we've already got teams turning up here and just wanting to sit back and happy to take a draw. You know, Chippenham celebrated their 0-0 like a win at the end.
And didn't Eastbourne do very similar as well? Despite the fact Chippenham and Eastbourne were up in the playoffs at the end of last season.
Yeah.
We were quite happy with that, weren't we? And, you know, Dover Athletic being a former National League club that obviously got relegated through finances and points deductions. But three big teams that we've played, but all at home, we've escaped.
And Weymouth away as well, who also came down.
Weymouth away, exactly. I mean, I look at it, I think Fortress Woodside last year, it was pretty much. It's still a fortress, we're still unbeaten, but frustrations on the final ball, I think, when you say, like, you know, like, we're not missing opportunities, but like, missed penalty could have been, offside, you know, are we not creating enough chances?
Yeah, I think we are creating chances, but again, I think it's the step up in level. You know, the final third, that sort of final ball or the actual finish hasn't quite been there, and you see opposing teams, they get the chance, they take it, you know, with I think we saw that a bit, you know, against Dover, against Eastbourne. You know, we weren't giving away many chances, but they took what they had and put it away.
Yeah, we weren't indeed. I mean, you look at those games. I mean, that first Dover game, obviously, there's no point dwelling on what happened on that day. It was very upsetting to see, and you were more in it, more so than me. It's me and Pete.
Hang on, you're
right, let's get this right before I drop Spencer in it. I say in it. He was in the shed end near it. I would say I can't really say that because he wasn't. I mean, if you know Spencer, I'm pretty sure you don't think of him as a hooligan and allow it, do you?
Hope not.
I mean, he does support West Ham, Irons, and all that. But, you know, Danny Dyer in the day and all that. I don't think he's got his Danny Dyers out.
Shut it.
But you schlag. But it was upsetting scenes to see, and we could see it from up here. Like, that's not what you want to bring on the first game of a new season and a massive new experience for us. Like, very disappointing. And Dover, like that, we can't say it's there. It's not a general consensus of their fan base. They were people banned from the ground that just go looking for trouble. It's just a shame they didn't notify the club in advance. Yeah. And, you know,
but it's good to see that it doesn't seem to have affected the attendances, since we're still getting the crowds, we're still getting the kids, still getting the families come along, which is, you know, that was something of a concern to me, because, you know, that day there were a lot of kids who saw what happened.
Mm. Well, it's also those sort of first time people that might be visiting the club, you know, they dads brought their sons and daughters, and, you know, we both don't have kids, but I'm sure if I brought my son, daughter to the first game and I'd seen that, would you want to be, not necessarily through Worthing, but, you know, would you want to be at a place that attracts away following that, like that? And, you know, it was horrible to see. And, you know, the brand new fan zone is marred by some idiots looking for a punch up.
Yeah, but hopefully that's it. It's a one-off and it's done with. And we look forward to the rest of the season.
Well, we tried segregating on Saturday against Eastbourne. It was a trial. I think it worked quite well from what I heard, and, you know, I didn't see massive scenes. They were obviously in the right hand corner towards the shed end. From early thoughts, I don't think there were any fans. I didn't really see any problems or comments on the social medias.
No, if anything, there was the odd Eastbourne fan raising the point they'd never been segregated before and couldn't work out why they'd been segregated.
Yeah. It might not have been communicated as well as it could have been, but it was done and it was successful. We talk about, like, segregation as part of the fan experience here on a match day. What do you think so far of the new additions? Obviously, we've got the new fan zone, which I think is fantastic. It's not quite finished yet, but it's been open. It's a lot quicker to get a pint. You know, pre-pouring pints is excellent. It really is. We don't have to wait. Saying that, we did miss the beginning of the match, but I think that was because people in front of us were messing around again. Well, they kept on changing their mind, didn't they? And it was like no fault of the bastard.
Yeah, and buying massive rounds as well.
And as we know, like, speaking to Barry last month, you know, it's one of these things that are going to be added to. We're going to hopefully get a roof, and it's going to be not tarmac over, it's going to be astroturfed over.
And some new tables supplied by the Supporters Association.
Yeah, that was passed off at our last meeting. We passed them off at the Supporters Association meeting to have some new tables, which is fantastic. We're emblazoned with our logo out there. But yeah, got all these new food stalls as well. Have you indulged in any of the gourmet Woodside dining yet?
I haven't, to be absolutely honest.
Pizza stall we've had shawarma stalls, we've had burgers. Still yet to see the Seaside Burger that I keep banging on about. I mean, why are you shaking your head?
Seagull in a bun.
Mm. Deep fried mackerel. That'd be all right, deep fried mackerel. But I think, you know, the fan experience, you can tell the club are really trying to improve on a match day. You know, that they're better, they're new staff, they're learning all the time. You know, that the experience queuing for a drink and, you know, the movement around the ground is a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So I think it just...
Yeah, it's one thing to get the crowds in, and, you know, we're definitely getting the crowds in, have been getting the crowds in for quite some time. And then, you know, from the commercial side, then it's once they're in, it's getting them to spend their money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've talked about the fan experience, we've talked about the match day experience, so why not let's link in with Barry Hunter. We've spoken about the Dover match. Barry sat down with me earlier on and discussed, you know, what's going on the ground and obviously what they're going to do to put forward about after that behaviour at Dover. So enjoy.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Barry, welcome back. Thank you for coming on so soon. How are we doing? You okay?
All good, James. Thank you. Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks, mate. Yeah. Enjoying the season so far. It's nice to say unbeaten in six, 3 wins, 3 draws and 6th in the table. It's not a bad start for us Rebels, is it?
No, it's been a very good start, hasn't it? In fact, all around the club, the women's teams have won twice, 100% record, and the under-18s kicked off in the week with a great victory. So all round the club's in a good place on the pitch, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you'd said to me when we lifted that trophy last season after the first month in the National South, we'd still be unbeaten and we'd be in the playoff zone at 6th position, I would have snatched anyone's hand off, wouldn't you?
I guess you would, yeah. And I think if you look at the results, it's been interesting, isn't it? The away wins, which is 100% record,
yeah.
And we're obviously able to play with a bit more freedom away from home than we're able to at home, where teams are maybe making it a little tighter for us, and unlocking them is much, much harder. But then again, we've been, I think, behind twice, haven't we, recently, and managed to pull back a point. And I think we're showing some real resilience as well. Yeah. So all good. I mean, to be in the top six is, we've got an average of 2 points per game. I think we would definitely have taken that before we started the season.
Yeah, I think we can all agree. And I know from speaking to Adam after game, some of the players, there's frustration that we haven't been able to kill it off at home, because we've had the opportunities to get those 3 points, you know, with missed penalties and missed shots and disallowed goals and, you know, just dominating games but not finishing. But they've still, what a start to the season at home. But just want to get that 3 points though, don't we?
Yeah, I think the domination home is probably from at the back in the middle of the park. But when you get to that final third, it's really, really crowded as far as I can tell. So probably a little harder to unlock. So it's just trying to find that little magic key. We've got players that can do that, and I'm sure Adam will find the answer to that. But it is good to see resilience at the same time. I mean, I think the Eastbourne game at home, they obviously had a way of wanting to play us, got their free kick, got their goal, and it was hard to break them down, but we just kept going, and that was really encouraging, you know. And despite being probably very, very tired, Callum managed to score a goal in the 80th minute. We've got a lot going for us this season, as you say, Fortress Woodside is still the case. We're not beaten here, but I'm sure everyone would like to pick up more points.
Well, as we said with that Eastbourne game, we all said after the game, we think if we had had an extra 10 minutes, I think we could have got the 3 points. I think we were sort of just 10 minutes too late with the pressure at the end.
Yeah, probably right. I think it reminds me of the Liverpool game I watched last night, which from people listening to the podcast, we were talking on a Thursday evening here. I think Liverpool needed that extra few minutes, and they got it, didn't they? And they did score. That's how they got there.
We needed someone at the near post, smash it into the back of the net, right at the death, didn't we, on Saturday? But hey ho, we're unbeaten. That's all we can care about right now. Obviously, we spoke at the last podcast, first one of the season. We looked at all the new improvements to the ground, one of them being, so we were discussing the container bar, which I think looks fantastic. I saw you got the signs up. It's been sponsored by Sussex Transport. Is that right? And they've got that their sign above the bar, which is good, because I noticed on the first couple of games, people didn't realise there was a bar there because there was nothing massive that said bar, but now they can't miss it because it's there. But happy with that so far, and the what's been going on, and the sort of income from that and the area in general?
Well, we're absolutely delighted with it, James. I mean, it's doubled up our ability to service our supporters by having three more fonts there. And that replicates what we've got indoors in the main bar under the stand. So we've got, you know, less queuing going on, less people walking away, more people a lot happier about being able to get a drink more quickly. And I think that has worked really, really well. It's also created quite a nice atmosphere around there behind the stand. And we've put it there, you can, on purpose, to the extent that you've got the space, but obviously when you come through the gates, the turnstiles, you can see it. And I think it will become, you know, I think it'll be our go-to destination going forward. So we're very pleased.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And have you managed to secure that funding you were talking about to sort of, build the tarpaulin stuff over it yet? Or is that still an ongoing matter?
Well, we definitely need to make the area dry for the winter, and so we're looking at all options there. We have a grant application in, but it's still remaining a slow process, but we're on it. We're fine. We'll get that dealt with.
Yeah. And a couple of things we've noticed about the match day experience, obviously you refitted the Budweiser bar, the outdoor bar next to the main stand, but that's remained closed for the home games we've had this season. What's the reasoning behind that? Is it shortage staff? Because I have noticed if we had that on, there still are some queues, and they're making people queue single file into the main bar now, rather than, like, you know, just crowd around the bar like we used to, which I feel takes longer. I was in that queue and it took me a long time. So going forward, are you going to be reopening the Budweiser bar? And, you know, this single queue just through the door, there was quite a long snake on Saturday's game. Is that something that's being looked at, or, you know, you just testing these little things first? Because I'd love to see the Budweiser bar reopen, because I think the capacity, I mean, we've averaged so far this season probably about 1,500 so far each home game. So to have an extra capacity and another bar open would be good, I think, for the experience.
Yeah. So a couple of points there. The queue going into the main bar, I saw that a couple of times on match day this weekend. And actually, if you go into the bar, you see two or three stations in there serving, but only one queue going in. So on a couple of occasions, I actually got people out of the queues and into the bar, and actually life was a lot easier. Mm.
Yeah, because she's pausing you there. I was when I was in there, she saw the bar staff said, no, it's single file, because I walked in like the old days and went and queued there, and she's like, no, it's single file. So
yeah, well, that's probably down to a bit of training.
Yeah,
because we're very clear that it shouldn't be single file. We'll get people in where we need to. We might use a steward just to help with the queue management. Mm-hmm. We're learning quite a lot, James. Paul will get that right with his team, yeah, for sure. I think regarding the Budweiser bar, so last season we had basically three pumps where you could buy beer inside the bar, indoors, under the stand. We had the outside bar, which has got one, and then we have one or two over on the north east corner to serve beer. Now, we've also introduced outside caterers, and we've located them in the area around the outdoor bar, which has got the one pump. So for the moment, we decided not to overcrowd that area with an additional bar. And you can imagine the queue that might come from there and what used to come from there. That would really encroach on the food area. So that's the reason it's shut at the moment. We're looking, we're learning, and we may or may not reshuffle that, depending on how things pan out over the next few games.
Well, I know Amanda would probably see good use for it as a club shop. I'm sure she pesters you about it all the time. And Dave, so I'm sure if you're going to change it from a bar, a club shop will be very welcome there.
Yeah, that's another option, isn't it? Yeah. So what we don't want to do is rush it, make some decisions quickly, and then find that it was the wrong one. We're still learning about the food, learning about the kitchen, all the offerings. So it's a slightly iterative process, but we'll get there. And I think overall, we've definitely got less queues in each bar. We've got more people being served more quickly. And as you say, from a new point of view there, sure, it's definitely helping the club as well.
It's definitely been moving quicker, and we have noticed we have been able to get that pint at half time without having to worry about missing a bit of the action. I mean, as you say, as staff get trained up and people learn, it will get better and better. You talk about the food. Obviously, it's a new thing this season with food stalls. We've had different ones each week. We've had like burrito stands, pizza stands, burger stands. What has and hasn't worked with those? Because I've heard good things about it. Is it working for the club in terms of a revenue and a sort of fan experience point, or is it kind of not working? You've got to tweak it. What are your thoughts on it?
We're still learning, getting intel on all of that. The good thing is that we're trying different things, and we had some demand last season for some better quality food, some different foods, some alternative street food, which has been seen at other grounds. So we thought we would try and do that. It's slightly more premium price.
I've heard a couple of grumbles about that, yeah.
Yeah. There's an offering for everyone's need, I think, now, which is good. Different products are getting more different demand levels and different interests. But we haven't analysed all the different information yet to say, well, this has worked, that hasn't worked. Paul will have that information, and I think he'll share that with the board when we meet in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, I am still very disappointed I haven't seen my Seaside Burger yet, Barry. I mean, I thought that was agreed at the end of the last podcast. I thought you were going to put a special on there. So is that coming soon? Is that going to be a Christmas present to James or something?
You need to rerun that that tape, because I don't know. But I think, listen, there's some good opportunities there. I'm just trying to get our bread and butter right, if you like, at the moment. Make sure. And there's also quite a crowd still in that area, so we need to make sure circulation is good.
It's a learning curve.
So lots and lots. Absolutely. But we want to improve. We want to do better things for our supporters, so it's all in good spirit.
Yeah. And before we move on, is there any more plans and movements we're going to see around the ground in the next couple of months? I know obviously with grading there are things that need to be done. Will we be seeing that within the next month or two, or is it a longer term process?
With ground grading, you mean, James?
Yeah, you know, like obviously there's certain areas of ground that need to be improved for safety, that they can't count for capacity. So is there going to be anything in the next month or two that we're going to see that is sort of quick fixes, or is it going to be sort of a 3 to 6 month process till we see any sort of improvements down certain areas of the ground?
We've done a lot of the work we needed to do for ground grading. There are some work, some bits of work we still have to do that's more, has got more scale to it, around capacity, for example. That work needs to be done by 31st of March 2023. So we've been given basically a season to get the ground where it needs to be from a base point of view. So we were allowed to play as a step-free ground for the first season. So I don't think anything's going to be done immediately. It's going to take time. The reason it's going to take a little bit of time is we're not thinking just about this year and what needs to be done for this year. We've got to put a 3 to 5 year plan on it. And if we do something now, we don't compromise what we might want to do in a couple of years' time. Of course. So it's all about planning. In fact, we've got that meeting at the club, one of those meetings tonight. That's why I'm at the moment. So it's going to, you're not going to see anything dramatic going on for a while. And then as we get into the new year, I suspect you will start to see some change.
Yeah, exciting to look forward to. Barry, just as we wrap up, obviously, when I spoke to you before off the air, we have to touch on it. Obviously, first game of the season against Dover, we saw some very unsavoury scenes from not the Worthing fans, some very, how do I put it, politically correct, without swearing, you know, some very nasty pieces of work that travelled from Dover and ruined the match day experience for what should have been a very exciting day for quite a lot of us. Obviously, I know you were disappointed in itself with the way the Dover fans acted. A lot of people really upset with what happened. We're not going to dwell on that. We all know what happened. But moving forward, I noticed this, that the club have launched a fan behaviour and safety initiative in association with like the FA, Love Football, Protect the Game. So taking your experience from Dover, which obviously, as we said, wasn't expected. You didn't get warned by Dover, which I know you were disappointed at because, you know, it transpires they did know about these people that are banned from their own ground. What are you doing going forward as a club? And like, just tell the fans sort of what are you going to do to protect them on the match day experience? Because the last thing we do is if you have people coming down for that first game or like new fans to see behaviour like that, it could put them off for life. So what's the sort of process moving forward for the club to protect the fans against things like that happening again?
Good question, James, and very timely, I think. Look, first principles here, absolute priority for the football club to ensure that our visitors to the ground have a safe and enjoyable experience. So we need to make sure there's context to this. 99.9% of games and visitors and supporters are well-behaved and take part in the full spirit of the game, and everyone's safe. And we're very thankful, I think, as a non-league football club and a culture that we operate in where supporters can enjoy free movement around the ground. And we very much support that wherever possible. Dover, for some of the visitors to the club that day, it wasn't achieved. And we need to make sure we don't find ourselves in that situation again. So I've placed some challenges onto the operations team within the club. And they've reviewed our match day policy in terms of the processes, the procedures, the manpower that we have, some of the equipment that we deploy. And where appropriate, we're evolving a lot of that to make sure we're fit for purpose. So to give you an example of some of the outcomes from that review, for every single game now, you will see an increase in the staffing of both security and stewards. You would have seen that at Chippenham, for example.
Yeah.
More people about, better, more visible, more capable, well-trained. We'll also bring in some additional CCTV coverage just to extend our eyes a little bit more around the ground without having to be in every location. And I think we're seeing a lot more coordination and cooperation with the Surrey and Sussex Police Unit, the league, opposition clubs. Like you said, Dover didn't share. We were in good contact with Eastbourne Borough last week, for example, on a game-by-game basis. And also in bringing in local agencies like the Pub Watch and using that to help us get more intel about supporters coming into the ground. So when we had a ground grading visit from the National League ground grading officer, and his advice was segregation should be deployed in every game. But we prefer a more proportionate approach because, again, trying to protect the whole spirit of the match day experience wherever we can. So we've effectively created a second category or tier, if you like, of games that may pose more risks than others, whether it's going to be a much bigger crowd or where we find that intel tells us there might be some more troublesome supporters, we'll make some upgraded measures. And they might include certainly more staff, more stewards, more safety and security staff, maybe use of deployment of the police if we need to. We'll be doing pad downs outside and searches. And we will introduce segregation in the ground and with it and into the ground for those more higher priority, higher risk games. So there's a whole, and there's actually a review at the moment of the test that we ran against Eastbourne Borough, which we're just learning and understanding from. This is all new to us, of course, as a club. So segregation is something we've tried to learn from the Eastbourne Borough game.
So Eastbourne Borough was just a trial. It wasn't, you just segregated just to see how the operation would work, or was there sort of some ums and ahs about maybe there could be a bit of crowd trouble, or was it just literally solely to do a test and you thought because it's local to Sussex Derby, it might be a bigger crowd?
We definitely didn't want to have a situation where we felt that there was a high risk from a crowd attending a game and we hadn't done a dry run and at least one or two tests of segregation. So Eastbourne Borough, absolutely not considered a risk. They've got a good reputation as a support base. They're our neighbours on the Sussex coast, and we have a very good relationship with them. Yeah. We'd actually, I've spoken three times with their CEO during the week. They were very aware of what we were trying to do. Our safety officers also have spoken with each other. They knew what we were doing and why, and they understood the need for us to test. There was a big crowd. We knew we could have over 100 supporters, and it was a very good opportunity to do a dry run, if you like. Yeah. We learned a hell of a lot by doing that. So no, it wasn't because we felt they were a risk. We just need to start getting and testing ourselves in those sorts of situations.
Have you had any early feedback from those fans of how the segregation work and their thoughts? Did the club sort of ask anyone, or like be in contact with Eastbourne, see what the early feedback was for it? Because obviously it's the first time you've actually ever had to do it.
Yeah, we've had some initial feedback on different things. We're still reviewing it. It's not just feedback from their fans, but also, I would say more importantly, is feedback from our security advisors on how that worked and whether in a more dramatic situation we were fit for purpose. So as an example, James, what we did and where we revised was to put people, supporters from Eastbourne Borough, on either side, if you like, of the turnstiles coming into that northeast corner. So you effectively split the crowd into two, and if there was any issues, you had a far smaller distance to travel to eject a troublesome support out. So things like that, which may not be obvious to most people, things like that are very important for us to feedback on from the security guys.
Yeah.
Obviously, they enjoyed the F&B experience there. They got the use of the northeast development, which we had, and I think the food and drink was great. They were very satisfied with that. Mm-hmm. But we have some questions about it. Do we need permanent barriers? Probably. Was the exit for our home fans quick enough after the game? Probably not. Were there any pressure points on toilets and food and beverage for our home fans? Probably. So that's why we have to test, and we'll do some more testing for some unsuspecting clubs, but we have to do it because we need to learn to get it right for when we will need it.
Well, 100%, it did take a lot longer to get out and move around the ground afterwards, but that's for obvious reasons. And when they did open those sort of gates, those temporary fencing, the ground emptied a lot quicker. I think that's obviously something. Am I right in thinking there is another turnstile or exit route at the other end? I might be
wrong. There is an alleyway leading up from St. Elmo Road into the ground, actually. It's obviously they can't get through the boundary. But there is an entrance point through the houses in an alley that does exist. Whether or not it's usable, whether or not you could actually use it for accessing the ground is one thing. Maybe you could use it for exiting the ground, particularly in an emergency, is another. And we're looking at that as another option. Yeah. But of course, it has significant implications and probably planning as well. So. But it does exist. And I think there's another one somewhere else we're trying to establish. Mm. And of course, with our neighbours in the Bowls Club, there may be opportunity to provide some relief with their boundary as well. But that's all on the all on the burner.
Brilliant. Well, Barry, thank you very much for being open and honest about it. It's good to chat to you because I know there was obviously some fans with some questions regarding the sort of stuff that happened at the Dover game and how the club are going to act after it. So I think, you know, all confidence going forward, and fingers crossed we don't see scenes like that at Woodside again in the future, because we all go to football on a Saturday to enjoy it. And that's one of the reasons why we like non-league.
Absolutely. And if I, you know, there's one message I would want to get across to every supporter at the club that listening to the podcast, is that we absolutely take this, take a real serious view of crowd safety, and we will do whatever we can to make sure and ensure it does exist, and people feel comfortable coming to the ground and want to stay and have an enjoyable time.
Yep.
And that's our priority.
Barry, thank you very much for joining us, and I'll see you very soon.
Cheers, James.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Always good to hear it from Barry Hunter. You know, he's honest with us. Going back to the results, I guess the most, we weren't there for it. We were watching Jasper warming up on the bench at Wycombe Wanderers against Charlton. And, we thought he was going to come on, didn't he? And he was getting his kit ready. And then I think Gareth Ainsworth changed his mind at the last minute. And bless him, I think he was a little bit disappointed because, yeah, you know, I guess he knew people there watching him. I'd like anyone, you'd want
to. But it's good to see him, catch up with him. And
yeah.
He'd got to start the midweek before.
Yeah, so. And he started on the cup game a couple of days later. So he's really breaking into that squad. What I was going on to say is we missed probably one of the most dramatic moments so far this season. Joel Colbrand's cross-come shot that won us against Dartford, which, you know, everyone looked into it. It was going to be one of the tougher away days of the season, looking at the calendars. I mean, what a victory to get in the last minute. I mean,
oh, yeah, it's the games you kind of live for, isn't it? And those kind of moments. You don't forget them. It's also why you never leave a game early.
Well, I mean, I know Pete was giving me abuse on our little chat saying, why are you taking away my drinking buddy to celebrate a last minute winner at Dartford and go and watch some rubbish EFL League One football? I was like, yeah, you got a point. I said, but Dean Cox wasn't there, so I thought he was his new drinking buddy now. But that was a great result so far this season. You were at the Welling game, weren't you? And you know, what was that like? First away game of the National South.
Yeah, again, that compared to, you know, our previous experience was Dover. You know, the experience was completely the opposite. You know, really, really friendly crowd. You know, we put ourselves in a corner down the away end of the first half. We were mixed and all getting along fine and chatting away. But performance-wise, wow, what a performance. Again, an established National League South team, and we taught them a thing or two.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the highlights, it was, you know, Welling, you know, okay, they struggled last year. They just escaped relegation to Isthmian. But they're an established National League team. They've been up and down over the years. And to get a result away from home, such a convincing result as well. You know, great away support, seeing that. It's part of this enjoyment of seeing these new clubs and, you know, news. And you said you were enjoying sort of company of some of the Welling fans for quite a bit of the match, you know, just talking over a few beers.
So really, really friendly bunch, you know. You know, if we're all thinking, oh, you know, Dover fans, that was going to be our experience this season, what it's going to be like at this level. The Welling game completely disproved that. Really, really good bunch.
Yeah.
They all said how well we played and, you know, all seem to think we do really well this year. So we'll take that.
I know some of the comments were after saying, like, if we play like that for the rest of the season, we'll do very well. But, I mean, the season's very long. So we do say sixth after, like, six games, like, three wins, three draws. We've got a very long way to go. We can't get carried away because we are going to have... I'd like to hope we're not, but we are going to have a little run of bad luck. And, you know, I throw my toys out the pram all the time about it. And Pete Lormey tells us to shut up all the time about it when they're doing the co-coms with him. But it will come. But I think a little bit of... I'd say it's not frustration, but, you know, maybe form at home. We are unbeaten, but it's three draws. And there have been opportunities for us to win those games. And do you think the draws were fair, like looking at the three matches, Dover, Chippenham, and well, 0-0 was Chippenham, and obviously against Eastbourne Borough? Do you think they were fair results, or do you think we really could? I think two out of those three games, we should have taken all three points.
You know, it just, again, just shows how tough it is at this level. Even against Eastbourne, you know, with 10 men, they just completely shut up shop.
And
we, you know, didn't particularly look like we were going to, you know, we went out and got the equaliser, but then we didn't particularly look like we were going to go and get a winner.
No, I do think it was one of those things that, you know, Ollie Pearce missing the penalty against Dover, like, I think that was a turning point in the game. It was one of those games that could have...
That was kind.
It was one of those turning points of the game, I think, that if, you know, he'd scored that, we would have gone on to cement the 3 points there. But these things happen. You miss a penalty, you know... He beat the keeper. He just sent it the wrong way. Just was a little bit wide of the goal.
Beat the goal as well. yeah, but we just can't complain. Unbeaten. 6 games in, end of August. Just keep that going.
Well, I think what we need to do now is go and speak to Adam Hinchwood, discuss what he thinks of the first month of the new league and a new season for him as a manager. Heinz, who's managed at a level. So over to Adam Hinchwood.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Hinch, welcome back to the Rebel Yell podcast. 3 wins, 3 draws, 6 games played, 6th in the league. Yeah, early days, but you can't complain, can you? Or is that just my point of view?
That's true, yeah. I think, exactly. I think we can, having seen how the games have gone, I thought Dover, we played some of the best football that we've played all season. Created lots of chances. You know, another day we score a penalty and it's a completely different game. But it was a nice sort of, I think, settled everybody down and, you know, it was a bit nervous, I think everyone, including myself, about what the level might be like, and I thought that performance really did put us into good stead because we played well. But we're disappointed to only get a point in that game, and I think if it was the other way around and you'd won all your 3 home games and drawn all your away ones, then I think for some stupid reason you're probably feeling a bit better about everything. But because we haven't quite got a win at home yet, still a bit. Like, there's, we dropped some points already.
Yeah, I think it's like we were saying, it was like last season, it was pretty much Fortress Woodside, wasn't it? You know, it was just like a place to come, and you know, you expect to win, you know, a couple of blips throughout the season, but it's fine. But, you know, as you said, like probably 2 out of those 3 games, we should have got the 3 points. You know, as you said, the missed penalty, you know, Chippenham, some chance we didn't take, you know, we can say the offsides and everything like that, and it should have been a win. But do you think something's lacking, or do you think something needs, like, you know, is there something missing, or do you think it's just the occasion's getting too much almost?
No, I think what I found in the first 6 games is teams are a lot more open when they're at home against us, and you know, a little bit more conservative in their approach maybe to come and attack us when we're here. And I think that's you know, compliment to the players that we've got.
Teams are coming here and giving us a lot of respect. They're come, you know, that Chippenham turned up for a 0-0 and absolutely delighted, and no, you know, teams are coming here sitting back, and
as we said, those two teams were in, they were up in the playoffs last
year. That's it. I think all 3 teams so far would be delighted that they've come away with a point so far, and I think, you know, that's obviously a good sign of where we come into a new league, and you know, teams are happy to come and take a point. But at the same time, like, getting back to your question, am I happy? Probably not really. I think we should be better, and that's just how the games have gone.
But as a fan, and I'm sure Spence would agree, I like to see that from the manager. He's not happy. Like, you know, as a fan, I can quite say, as we were saying on the podcast at the beginning, I'm quite happy to sit here. When we're lifting that trophy and drinking Budweiser out here, don't tell Nick Robinson and all that in the bar. But, you know, when we're doing that and you said to me, like, we'll be sixth after the first month of round of games, unbeaten, I'd take that. But it just shows that how much passion and determination you've got to just make this club a success and push as far up as possible.
No, yeah, definitely that. And I think also, you know, compliment to the players and how quickly they've adjusted to being at this level. They've, you know, it certainly hasn't been a team where I thought, in all the 6 games so far, we was second best of any team. You know, just some good individuals. And I think as well, like, a lot of us, including myself, are learning about the level as we're going. And, you know, I don't think we was aggressive enough in the first 2 games and how we defend our box. And we're putting some improvement into that. But in the flip of that, we've now got to be more creative and create more chances. So definitely that first game was probably our best one for in terms of chances created.
So has there been any surprises? You know, obviously, it's a new level for everyone, especially you guys, highest you managed and everything like that. Would you say there's anything that surprised you about the sort of the teams that have come or the way it's played or just the league in general? Or, you know, was it what you expected? Or, like, what have you taken away from the first 6 games?
No, yeah, definitely just what I expected, really. Know that, you know, you're going to get punished more for mistakes. And, I think just the concentration of myself and the players and everyone has to be, you know, full on, and you have to be fully concentrated. You know, everything has to be of a top ilk, including your sort of mindset, for the whole entire time. And you can't take any sort of shortcuts or anything, and you have to be fully focused on everything we're doing. And I think that'd be the key thing. I think, like, mentally, maybe players last year would go past the player, and then think they've got a bit more time where they don't have that time this year. We need to get a few more players, in my opinion, up to speed. I don't think we've got everybody fully at it that can go with that concentration, that mindset for 90 minutes.
From the untrained fan eye view, it looks like so far we're the only team that wants to play football, actual proper football on the ground in these games so far.
Yeah.
And the other team, just think it's more, it's about sheer physicality.
Yeah, no. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I thought, you know, no disrespect to anyone, how they played is, you know, more than one way to win a game of football. And, you know, my firm belief is doing it our way, but that's not to say it's the right way. There's, you know, just how I like to the games we played. But you know, I thought those teams that we come up against that are surely just playing for set pieces, getting free kicks and corners and trying to score for that. You have to be able to manage what the opposition are doing as well. And, you know, like I say, there's some physical sides. And I think a couple of the tackles, I think, you know, it's quite evident that the message has been from managers to their players to be physical with us and get stuck into us. And a couple of tackles that have gone on inside the first couple of minutes have warranted a card for me, but just because of
this is refereeing where they won't pull anyone up.
No, that's it. And then you have a coming together literally 10 minutes later and you get a yellow card given against your players. But, you know, my player nearly missed a game because of one of those tackles. I think if it's a yellow card tackle, it's a yellow card tackle.
Yes. Yeah, well, again, we've had some question marks about some of the refereeing.
Yeah. It's, you know, we think you go up a league, the quality gets better. And I'm not sitting here, and I know you're not going to sit here and like blast, but, you know, there's been some contentious decisions that I think possibly, maybe at some stage, cost us a game. Like, I personally still think that game against Chippenham, that offside goal should have been given. Like, I was right behind the dugout. I think we should have maybe had a penalty, but I guess that's just you give and take in the world of football, don't you? You're going to get those over the course of the season.
No, yeah, definitely. I'm not one to, I just try to focus on what we can do better. And, you know, we can't
change it. Really.
Can't change that and do anything about the officials. No. I think they try and do the best job that they can do. And yeah, I'm not one to worry too much about what they do. They're out there. We need them for the game to function. So they try and do the best job they can do.
So Adam, like we're early in the season. We've done a month, and you know, there's already been some departures and injuries that you know, we'll just run through a few. Obviously, Marvin Armstrong. That. I don't know if it's the Rebel Yell kiss of death, because we interviewed him for the first time and we've been trying for ages, and he's gone 2-3 weeks later. But, you know, we're proud. It's amazing to see he's pushed up a level. Was it a surprise to you? I mean, obviously, he was one of your choices to come back this season. Was it completely out of the blue? Were you surprised? Like, how did it come about?
Yeah, no, just a 7-day approach come in. Marv was quite keen that it was a good move for him. And, yeah, he's worked, you know, very hard in lockdown. As soon as we could get players together, he was one of the first ones that would travel down from London and done a lot of time, like spending one-on-ones with Marv. So you're obviously pleased for him that all that hard work, and he's getting to a level now that where he wants to be a full-time footballer. And ultimately, you know, we're still only Tuesday, Thursday nights, and he's got the opportunity to really go and maximise and be a sort of professional player. So although it's at a National League level, that's almost like League 3 for me, that level, because there's many sort of professional sort of teams.
You look at how many have gone down from League 2 into like the National League.
If you watch the games on TV, they're probably better quality.
Well, look at that playoff semi-final last year going into the League 2. That was crazy. I mean, obviously we wish Marvin well, but does this mean the end of Grafter on you?
No.
It's the serious question.
Yeah. It's the serious question. No more mates rates.
Exactly. Yeah. No, he sent me a nice little tracksuit over. It's a thank you present.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no,
keep it going. Yeah. No. Yeah. Just
Don't tell Pete because he'll get jealous.
Yeah. If I wear it on the bench, there's a certain chairman for the National League that I think will find me, so I'll be very careful.
I did notice, I've noticed you've been wearing the Vanarama stuff now. Is it like one of the league rules? Is that just
manager's got to wear that.
So how does Mark White get away with it then?
Or suit.
Oh, is it because he can class it as a smart suit.
Yeah,
I think Marvin's stuff's quite smart, you know. It's the new modern way, isn't it? You know, but anyway,
I'll send the bill to Marv if I get
fired. I think that's right. I think he wants to promotion, get him that. Obviously, Jake Robinson, as we just said before we came on to record with you, a big loss, and I'm sure you feel it around. I mean, it's the curse of Woodside, the first home game of the season. Last season it was AP. He got injured on the first home game of the season, out for the whole year, pretty much. Jake Robinson, as we said, Spencer can agree that, like, just pre-season, even that first game, he got the goal for us. And he just looked like he just slotted in and he was going to be such an important player for us. It must be devastating for you to, like, think you found someone that's going to slot in so nicely to then literally have it ripped from under you.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of plan and stuff was around sort of Jake being the number nine, and you know, I felt that we would create a lot of chances and we needed someone at this level, proven sort of goal scorer at this level, and you know, he was definitely that. And I think, like you say, you see him pre-season and in that first game he didn't need too many chances, Jake, and he'd put him away. And yeah, obviously he worked tremendously hard and was really looking forward to the season, so you know, I feel for him as well. It's probably his first major injury, I think, that he's ever had in his career. And it'll come one game into signing for us. So, yeah, obviously very disappointed for him personally. And, yeah, us as a team and a club are missing a really talented player.
It's really good to see him still around at games and just positive attitude still.
No, definitely. Yeah, he's definitely got that. You know, he wants to get back, wants to get playing, and he's determined to still play to his 40. So, you know, I still think we'll see Jake in a Worthing shirt scoring goals for us. But yeah, it's obviously a big blow for this season. But at the same time, with that, you know, opportunities then arise for other players, and you know, Cal's probably then gone on to start the games and scored four in the last five. So, you know, as bad it is for one player, other opportunities then open up for others. And it's the same with Marv Graham, really. All of a sudden, there's a spot in midfield. Comrade comes back and has done well in training and looks like another good young prospect. If Marv didn't go, he probably wouldn't be back with us, still be playing for Tri. So, yeah, that side of it as well, that you know, opportunities are going to you know, arise all throughout the season.
So Jake's going to be riding in on a horse through the gates at Woodside Road towards the end of the season to blast into the National League. Is that the plan?
Yeah, 100%.
Not in shining armour.
Is that what he said to me? He'll be back for
the running
playoffs. Yeah, if we get.
So he's still within your plan. So, like, you know, if he gets back to it, as long as you know he hasn't been replaced, he's still going to be in some contention to be within the squad. Then.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, he's just going through the process at the moment, whether it's definitely going to have an operation or not, you know, but I think that's is almost decided that in his head now, that that's what the route is will go down. And yeah, it's obviously a 6 to 9 month recovery after that operation. So yeah, but I'm like you say, his attitude and everything, no one's going to work harder than Jake Robinson to get back and get out on that pitch as soon as he can. But just wish him all the best in that recovery.
And one more departure, Adam El Abd. He didn't really feature much. Was disappointing for you? Like, you know, was it like are you quite surprised that he's just chosen to retire, or like did it come out of the blue, or do you think he just didn't think he could step up to the level?
No, yeah, I think it was just an open, honest conversation, really. I think Joe Rye, his performances in pre-season,
which I have to say, pausing, he's been unreal. Like, he's come out, and we've said it on the podcast. I can put my hands up and say, like, when you announce him on the team show that first game, everyone's like, what, why? Like, you know, but he's been unbelievable.
Yeah, I think, you know, his performances in pre-season have warranted him starting. I thought he was excellent all pre-season and arguably our best defender. And with that, he's got his opportunity and he's most certainly took it. And I think Adam, you know, the age he is quite open and honest. He's looked at that and gone, you know, the team's doing all right here. He's got three good centre-halves. You've got Luca out on loan playing for Horsham as well. So the club's in good hands and he probably doesn't want to spend all his Saturdays just travelling around. But again, another great character, and he's still been part of the club. He's done a bit with a few younger players in the gym here already. So, you know, I think he can have a big impact on progressing these younger players through as
really
well.
It's really good that he's still around with his influence and experience, because that's, you know, when a player like that leaves, that's you're losing quite a lot, aren't you?
No, exactly that. He's a great character. Can't speak highly enough of him as a person and a character. And, you know, if he can give some of his professionalism and little bits that he'd done in his game to have him to have the kind of career that he's had. If he can pass that on to some of our younger players, then you know, I think we'll be better for it.
So we talked about departures. You know, before we wrap this little chat up, Adam, is there any sort of incomings? I'd like to think you probably are looking at replacing these players, and might not know. But you know, are we looking in that area? Are we going to see some new face in the next month? Would you say?
No, yeah, definitely. I think we've got to bring in a bit of help in forward areas. I think you know to rely on Cal and Ollie to at this level. To start week in week out and to score the goals to keep us up there is you know going to be tough on them. So yeah, we're definitely looking at some attacking options. I think Adam when he's come on, you know, it showed that he's got a lot of hunger, a lot of pace, and a lot of potential. But it's all right having that potential. We need players that are going to deliver. And yeah, same with like Mo Jammer as well. I think Mo Jammer, Nods, Adam. You know, there's lots of potential that they can definitely play at this level. But ultimately, you know, when they get their opportunity, they've got to take it. So I think we might need a bit of help in those kind of areas.
Yeah. Okay, so we're looking forward to an experienced centre-forward coming in.
Even like someone that can, you know...
Jamie Vardy?
Yeah, provide... deadline day's not quite...
Another hour or two.
Exactly, but there's... a bit of experience, and you know, if there's a little gem out there that we can work with and you know, provide a bit of help for who's a bit different to what we've got, then we'll look at that as well.
I mean, we've seen it with, like, as we said with Jake, like, you know, that's definitely a gem in non league. You know, it's just a shame you won't see him as much as this season, but you know, to pick that out, you know, you guys picking it out from you know, your research and stuff is fantastic. So, in Adam, we trust, I think you say, Spencer, don't you? Yeah, and this coaching, but Adam. Well done the first month. You know, from my point of view and Spencer's point of view, we're really happy. I know, you know, you want to, you know, you've got a little bit up there, but, you know, keep it up. It's great. And, you know, the club's a happy place and the fans are definitely happy right now. And hopefully we can speak at the end of next month and we'll still be in the same sort of positions. And, you know, that's what we like to hope, don't we, Spence?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. Good start. Or average start from my point of view, but hoping to get better. We want to keep on improving. Don't want to stay still and be happy with what we've done so far. Definitely room for improvement, and you know the way these players work, I'm sure they'll be looking just as much as I am to kick on and progress, keep on progressing.
Good luck for September, Adam. Thanks very much.
Cheers guys.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Great to speak to Adam, as per usual. Nice, open and honest behaviour. Talking about players, obviously, we've lost Adam El Abd. He's probably... He did make one appearance, I think. He's not as bad as Dean... what was his name? Dean...
Hammond,
a few years ago, who, like, literally signed for us, never made an appearance due to COVID, and then went to get a full-time job at Southampton FC, I think. But Adam El Abd, were you surprised that he sort of come? You know, there's a bit of hoo-ha about it, fanfare on the socials, and... It was a little bit dubious because he came from Whitehawk before.
Yeah,
you know, was he up to this level?
It was a little bit of a surprise signing, to be absolutely honest. But then, you know, we're still a very young squad, and you can see, you know, bringing in the experience. You know, Coxie's gone now, so you know it was an old
Coxie's gone, but he ain't really gone. He's here every match day. Pete's still got his drinking buddy.
He's gone from the pitch, but he hasn't gone from the bar.
Yeah. Sorry, going back to it.
You know, it's that older head, a bit of experience around the place. But wish him all the best.
Yeah, and I personally think one of the biggest losses for us so far, just seeing in pre-season, was Jake Robinson. You know, and he scored on his debut. And we had a joke about it after. What is it with first home games of the season at Woodside Road? Last year was Alex Parsons got injured on the first home game of the season. This year is Jake Robinson out for... what, up to 9 months, yeah. Possibly. He's probably out for the season. And hopefully it's not his career, because, you know, I'd love to see him in a Worthing shirt, because what he did in pre-season, he just seemed like a natural goal scorer. Someone that, if we are going to climb the leagues, he was going to be the guy that got us those goals. And, you know, I, for one, am very disappointed and upset that we're not going to see him really possibly ever in a Worthing shirt.
He just looked unreal in pre-season, absolutely on fire. You know, look like a player, you know, you could say I was a guaranteed 20 goals this year. But and also the, you know, the whole incident and the injury just seemed so sort of innocuous. But you know, he's been at the last couple of games, and I spoke to him briefly after the Eastbourne game, he seemed quite optimistic he was going to be back sooner rather than later, hopefully. So,
well, it's nice to see that, you know, some he could quite easily, like Adam Elab's done, he could easily, not, I'm not saying Adam's like copped out, but, you know, he's decided it's too much and he's retired. But, you know, Jake could think, like, look, I'm getting on, what is he, 34, 35 now, I think. And, you know, he said, I've got this injury, could I come back? But yeah, the fact you still see him on a match I think that's brilliant. He's really confident.
I think he's very positive and I think he's very, very keen to get back.
And could he be one of these players that comes in at the right end of the season for us? You know, if we're pushing around that playoff area, you know, even up at the upper end of the table, because he'd be this player that we need to bring into the squad.
We could have a situation where he comes in, you know, a month or two before the end of the season, maybe, and, you know, a player of his quality, and he's going to come in fresh, playing against tired defenders and defences who've already played 30 games this season.
It'll be really interesting. We obviously hope Jake, wish him well, and hopefully we might be able to get a word with him in one of the next couple of podcasts and see how his recovery is going, you know, just to speak to him, because I'm sure he'd love to, because we haven't really had the chance to introduce him to the fans, really. I mean, we're doing pretty badly at the moment. We had Marvin Armstrong last month and he goes. I mean, talk about Marvin. I mean, fair play to the fella. I mean, I'm really proud to see. It came as a surprise. I'm not going to hold my hands up and say, you know, I didn't think he'd be signing for a club in a high level. I hope he goes on and pushes. What are your thoughts on
this? Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's absolutely gut-wrenching to see him go. But then, you know, you can't deny giving him a chance to go and play at a high level, and you want all the players to have the chance to go and play at a higher level. But it was a really nice touch of him as well that he was at the Dartford game to
say thank you.
To everyone. That's, you know, shows you the quality of the fella.
But, I mean, the thing we've got to look at now is what brand wear is Pete going to have to wear? Because Grafter, surely it'd be like, it's almost cheating on someone by wearing Grafter now, isn't it?
Yeah. It's also worth keeping an eye over Barnett to see what their players are turning
out. I'm looking out on the pitch now. I can see Hinch. He's not got any Grafter stuff on now. Can you see Stu anywhere?
Stu hasn't. Saw Stu earlier.
Stu hasn't got any Grafter on. You know, is it a silent protest, do you think? You know, Marvin's gone, not going to wear Grafter anymore. Anyway, if Pete accepts Grafter vouchers, I think Ian from Gage Master said he was going to get him a voucher for his birthday, didn't he? But good luck to Marvin. I think, it did come as a surprise, but it'll be interesting to see what he can do at Barnet, because, you know, he's been given the squad number 5, so that means they've obviously got some hopes for him. Like, you know, and I think what Marvin said, it came out of the blue for him as well. Like, it was just like, 1 week he's here, next week, and that's what the joy.
And these opportunities come out, you just got to grab them.
You've got to take them. You can't fault him for that. It's like, that's the thing, what we were saying, like, when we were talking to one of the Wickham players after the game with Jasper, we were like, you know, obviously it hurts to see someone go, but that's what you get at this level. You know, you want them, as it say, the path to progress, you know, and everything like that. And, you know, providing the pathway, I think we're going to say, don't they? That's what we want to see. I think one of the players I've been really, really impressed with this season so far is Kane Wills. He's literally just been such a solid addition.
Just bossing the midfield.
He's been brilliant. I'm obviously, me and you weren't here. We weren't living in Worthing at the time when he was at the club last. But, you know, obviously we heard previous stories about, you know, the departure from the club, and, you know, there were some fans that weren't too sure what he was going to be like. But I think he's proved them all wrong, hasn't he? He's been brilliant. He's been, like, he's got to be number one on Hinch's team sheet on a match day.
Yeah. Whole team revolves around him. You know, again, got so much experience at this level that he can bring with him.
I think without further ado, Nathan's arranged us to speak to Kane. So let's sit down with Kane and see what it's like being back at the club and what he's thought of the season so far.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
We're joined by Kane Wills for the first time on the Rebel Yell podcast. Kane, welcome back to the club. Myself and Spencer weren't here the first time around, but, you know, from what we've seen since you've been back, you look really happy to be back right now. Are you enjoying yourself?
Oh, I am, mate. Yeah, I'm genuinely loving it. So, and I think that's when you sort of often play your best football. It's just good to be back.
Yeah.
You know, familiar territory, as some fans will know, which hopefully, you know, that the way it ended has been forgotten a little bit. And, you know, just I'm back here to try and get this club, you know, even higher up the leagues and do well, you know. So,
well, I think, you know, I mean, obviously, as I said, we weren't here the first time because we've moved to work for the last 5 years. So we've sort of seen, like, you know, I think what we can say from our point of view, you've let the football do the talking. You know what I mean? You've just seemed to have slotted into the squad really well. So what's it like being back this time? Obviously the club, you probably look at similar sort of facilities, but there must be loads of changes in everything you've seen.
Oh, that's the thing. The facilities, even them, are different. You know, when I left last time, we couldn't play on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, it was going through that stage. And obviously, you know, I know it had some challenges, but it's completely different. But to be fair, you know, with Hinch, with the management staff, with the way they've got the boys playing, it's so easy. Or I say easy, but it's easier as a player to slot in because you know exactly what the team wants from you. You know, the team's got a really good way of playing. Despite the fact we play different formations, that's helped for me, and I think also for the other lads that have just come into the side this year. I think it's helped us just to slot in. you know, and hopefully play a good brand of football.
And it seems like a really good group of lads like slot into.
Yeah, it is. There's genuinely no egos. Everyone gets their fair share. Yeah. You know, I get battered. Yeah. I get bad from a bald head most of the time.
Yeah. I would say so, but I've got a hat on for a reason, mate. I'm holding on to my hair for a little bit longer.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
No trips to Turkey for me, yeah.
I remember clinging on, mate. Yeah. But no, it is good. It's a good bunch. Yeah. But that's the thing. We know when to work hard. We know when we can have our laugh in the dressing room. But we know once we get out there and we train hard, we train intense, and then... I think that's showed on game day. We haven't got the results here yet that we want, but they'll come.
So we turn it back a year. Obviously, you signed on loan from Dorking Wanderers, and you're recalled by Mark, you know, for reasons that we've seen on a bunch of amateurs, we've seen on a thing. Take it to the Dorking side. What was it like, that team last year, to be promoted into the National League? I mean, obviously, you've come to Worthing now to hopefully do something similar here with us, but that must have been a hell of an experience for you.
It was, and you know, Dorking's a great club as well. Yeah. What Mark's done for that club in the short time he's done it is nothing short of remarkable. Yeah. But I see so many similarities between Dorking and us in many ways from a playing point of view, in that I just felt like Dorking were just animals in the right way, though. They'd go over that pitch and they'd just do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah.
And I think that showed itself a little bit in terms of us and not getting beat. Yeah. You know, we could have got beat Saturday. We could have given up a little bit and we didn't. And that's why we're unbeaten. And I think this team's got all the potential to get there. Yeah. Obviously, Dorking's a little bit more experienced in terms of players, but we've got the youth, the enthusiasm on our side. So, I think
that's shown with you on a personal level as well, though. You've probably been a bit modest, but, you know, you've gone out there and you've bossed that pitch.
Oh, no, thank you, mate.
People said you're one of the standout players so far. We've barely been playing in National South for a month. Like we were saying, we've said already on this podcast, like, 6 games, unbeaten, 3 wins, 3 draws. Yeah, the home form's been a little bit frustrating. I'm sure it's even more so for yourself, because you know, as we know as fans, that we could have probably edged it on at least 2 of those 3 occasions. Yeah. But to see, like, you sort of like that midfield role, you seem to be sort of just, it's amazing to see how well you slotted in. So it must be nice for you to come back, you know, forgetting the previous and what happened, as you say, like what happened in the past, but it must be so nice to slot in and just feel like you're such a part of the squad. You can tell, like, the players look up to you.
Yeah, well, I think that's nice. You know, you always set yourself targets when you come back and you want to, you know, for me, it was important. You know, I was coming into a strong midfield and I'm in a strong midfield, and it's important that, you know, I do love it to keep my place, because, you know, otherwise you'll be out the side. So that's given me all the motivation I need to want to carry on. And
Stu, you've had your 5 minutes of fame.
We can't keep him off.
He's obsessed with this podcast. Stu's giving Kane some abuse here, but he's already had his 5 minutes of fame. He was the one that cried last season. I didn't get him on one of the episodes. He went and talked to me in the bar after. So, like, you know, he loves being on it. But, no, so obviously last season, you, like, obviously you were signed, and it went back, as we said. Were you, like, told by Dorking at the end that you won't be required for this season, and was, like, Worthing your first port of call, or did you have other interests, or were you like, I'm going back to Worthing, that's what I'm doing?
Worthing was absolutely my first port of call. I mean, with Dorking, it was, I suppose it was a bit mutual. Maybe it was them, maybe it was a bit of both. But I think that I was only a bit part player really last year.
Yeah.
And especially going up into that National League with my family and stuff, you know, being a bit part and doing the travelling. I would have done it if he was going to play. Like, but then if you're not playing, you just sort of think, look, there's, you know, it's not. And then once the sort of, we knew it wasn't going to be the case, then for me, it was just all about trying to get back here. So, you know, I reached out to Hinch. You know, I was desperate to get something sorted, and we did. So for me, it was the only place I wanted to come.
Yeah. Well, it's fantastic to see you back. And we've absolutely loved your performances so far this season. Keep it up.
Thank you, mate. It's great to be back.
Any differences, you say, so far compared to, like, last season in National South and, like, this season? Like, you said, obviously, Dorking, you said, like, the players maybe a bit more experienced. But have you noticed any changes so far this season? Like, anything in particular?
No, I don't think, not in terms of the opposition we faced. And, you know, when you look at it, we've played two sides that have come down from the National League. We've played 3 sides that were in the playoffs last year. So we've come up against some good sides, but I think we've already started to see them common patterns at home where, you know, usually the side coming up, teams think they can get at you a little bit. But I think what we've found is that teams have come here and sat in a block.
Yeah.
And they've made it difficult for us. So I think that gives us a lot of, they're giving us a lot of respect.
Absolutely.
But then that's where now we've sort of got to get used to that might be a regular occurrence this year. And then we find our way of breaking that down. And once we get the first goal, teams will naturally have to come at us a little bit more, and then hopefully that'll be an opportunity for us to go and get some more.
And it's that initial just trying to break teams down. And I've said earlier as well, you know, it's really noticeable that you really need to take your chances at this level.
You really get
punished if you don't.
Yeah. Well, we saw it at Weymouth, didn't we? I think we were quite clinical. We could have even had more goals there, but we were quite clinical. Yeah, we could have shipped a few, definitely. But we were quite clinical at Weymouth, and then in the home games, we've not maybe been as clinical as what we've been away.
I think it's also a testament, as we said earlier in the podcast, that you've seen teams like Chippenham, who were right up there last year, you know, teams like Eastbourne are right up there in the playoffs, like almost celebrating that they've joined with Worthing. And I think, you know, that's a testament to Hinch, you guys as the players and the squad in general, that people are looking to come here and get a scalp, because we saw all the things pre-season, the bookies saying like we're third favourites, which I know Hinch has said, like, you know, forget about what the bookies say, because it's all that you do on the pitch. But it must be nice to see that, like, it means so much to those teams coming here and actually getting like a point. It shows how much like Worthing obviously are sort of respected in the league.
Definitely. And you know, we're coming out of them games disappointed. You know, we're really coming out of them games. Maybe Eastbourne, I suppose. Eastbourne was probably about right. But and obviously then with 10 men, you can't deny that. But I think certainly the Dover games and the Chippenham games, we looked at and thought, well, that's 2 points dropped.
Yeah.
You know, and really we're thinking, actually, if you win them games, then you're right up there. It's early days to be looking at the leagues, but we're leaving them games disappointed. So, you know, it's good, but we just
got that hunger to get the 3 points, hasn't it?
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, so early on in the season as well, there are things to learn from and pick up from for rest of the season.
Definitely. You know, sometimes you'll go through spells, you know. Likewise, we've got off to a good start, but that's all it is. You know, if we'd got off to a start after six games where they hadn't been such good results, you wouldn't be, you know, crying about it, but so we'll go through spells. You know, hopefully we'll have more ones that are good than not so good. But
I've got to make sure I don't throw my toys out the pram. Last season, when we were beginning of the season, it was like, you know, we had an amazing pre-season. Obviously, we knew, you know, what happened with Worthing in the, like, you know, the last couple of years. And we obviously had a little bit of a bad run at the beginning. And I was just getting so stroppy. And Pete, the other guy that does Rebel Yell with us, he was like, just calm down. It'll be all right at the end. Look where we are now, you know.
Exactly.
We are going to expect a little blip in form. That's just natural,
isn't it?
It's a
long season.
Yeah. So, Kane, thank you for, like, sitting down with us and talking. We've asked every player that comes on here to name an interesting fact about yourself. So we're going to put you right on the spot now.
Oh, mate.
And this is what they always do. But I think we get the better reaction, don't we? If we'd send you a message before and say, right, think of something, you're just like, off the top of your head, an interesting fact about yourself. Doesn't have to be. Keep it clean. Keep it PC.
Mate,
we know you've had your stag doing magnifo or something.
I wish I'd say different to tell you, but I'm quite boring, to be fair.
I'm sure you're not.
An interesting fact about myself. Mate, you've absolutely done me.
Is this going to be one of these things that we're going to have to like...
Yeah, I'm that interested.
Or are we going to have to do one of those things where you're just going to like literally pop up behind him in the bar, shove a microphone in his face, go, you go, mate, you've had time now to think about it. What have you got?
This
might be one for the end.
Interesting fact. Well, I get battered. I get bad for looking like Voldemort. There you go.
So if we have a Halloween party this year, the away boys, if you want to sit in the away end, get Harry Potter fancy dress. We know what we're doing. So we can have Lewis White with a big afro. There we go. Yeah, with Voldemort.
Chalk and cheese,
like
mate, me and
Wayne. Kane, thank you for spending time with us. Good luck for the rest of the season. We'll catch up with you later on. But welcome back to the club. And, you know, keep up those amazing performances on the pitch, mate.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers,
appreciate
thanks, mate.
It.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Great to hear from Kane Wills there. Thanks for sitting down with us. First of many, hopefully, appearances on the Rebel Yell podcast. We're sitting here nice and cosy right now in the press box because there's a massive thunder and lightning storm and rain has just come in from nowhere. We're nice and warm and cosy and the players are getting soaking wet out on the pitch right now. But
It's not the night to stand under a floodlight.
No, definitely not. You don't want to be anywhere near a piece of metal. So now, are we all right? We are isolated here. We're in the press box. There's no metal here. Maybe if we stand against the back of the stand, the Rebel Yell stand. But Kane Wills, great addition. One of the other additions to the squad that I'm really impressed with and seems to have come out of nowhere is Joe Rye. You know, he's been in the youth setup for a while, but you've never really seen him before, you know, and make appearances. He had sporadic squad appearances, but he's come out of nowhere and just absolutely smashed his league. He's been solid.
Just absolutely immense, you know. Especially, you know, coming in, especially the Welling game away, you know, just absolutely solid performance. No one, nothing could get past him, and popped up and scored his first goal as well.
Because I'm not doing a disservice to the guy, but when we saw him on the first team sheet, everyone's a bit like, what, who, why? Like, we knew who he was, but why is Hinch, obviously in Hinch we trust, because he's been absolutely solid at the back, and, you know, partnership he's starting to form with Aaron, and you know, like, you know, that defensive line, he's just
And, you know, as you said, he's getting forward, he's popping up, scoring goals. You know, he just seems to be, is he going to be the next player we're going to fall in love with, and then he's going to depart us for passes new in a year or two's time? Because, you know, I could see great things for the kid.
Yeah, but, you know, this is Hinch and you know, the club as a whole. You know, never afraid to give youth a chance. And, you know, so they provide that pathway, and the first step up pathway is into the first team.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's what we love seeing, don't we? We love seeing players progress, and you know, you feel proud. It's like we said, it we feel like a proud dad to Jasper.
Brought a tear to you.
I mean, you are old enough to be his dad. I mean, if I was his dad, it's a little bit of a weird situation that it could be involved social services if I was his dad and the age I am. But you know, it was great to see. But you know, we just love seeing. I'd love to see that, and more players I can stalk and ask for a signed shirt or something like that at the end of the season or something like that, which you would think that. I think that leads on rightly. The youth setup has started again now. Games are starting to come underway. Training's happening. So I think by all means, we need to sit down with Stu Evans, who is our youth guru and obviously our first team kit man and one of the coaches here at the club.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Because we're doing this live.
Stu, we're talking about like Joe Rye coming into the squad. Obviously, he's been in the youth setup for a while, and you know, he came out sort of nowhere. You know, being one of the youth coaches, it must be really great to see him sort of cement himself and like prove a lot of the doubt was wrong. Because I think we can all admit that on the first game of the season when he was named in the squad, everyone's like, "Why is he playing?"
Yeah,
Joe?
No, definitely, mate. I mean, that, again, I keep on saying that this is what this club's all about for me and for everybody here from the coaches. Point of view, like we just try wherever possible to promote from within and use youngsters as much as we can within our squads. And if you're good enough, it don't matter what age you are, you get in. And that's shown with a couple of the youngins we had in pre-season. Joe Rye's been around for a good few years, mate. Obviously, he's been with the 15, 16s. He won the County Cup with them. He's just waiting for his time. He's got to be patient. And unfortunately, sometimes youngsters don't want to be patient. They just want to play football as quick as they can. Yeah. Men's football, think they're due it, and they should be playing. They say God-forgiven right to be playing, and it doesn't work out like that. And they've got to work hard. So
us as fans, we absolutely love it, and we just can't wait till the next one.
He's going to be the next heartbreaker, isn't he, Stu? Like the next Jasper. Like everyone falls in love with him, and then he's going to go into bigger and better things, and you just feel proud for him.
Look, mate, I want him to stay here for the rest of his career.
Yeah,
but in reality, that's not how football works, and also, to be honest with you, not how we would want it to work. We'd want him to, if he's the next one to go out and become a pro, then fair play. Do you know what I mean? That's what we've, it shows what we're doing. Hinch and Nathan and Cam are doing their job right. So
we're talking like this week, all the youth is starting up again. Thoughts for the upcoming season? Got a good bunch of lads that are starting with us. You hoping for big and like, as well a season as we did last year, even better possibly?
No, better, mate. Yeah, looking to improve on last season. We've got some really good, players amongst all our youth teams, mate. We've recruited really well over the summer of the trials, and I thought the 14s, 15s, 16s will kick off their first game this Sunday. Looking forward to it, mate. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. You know, I look at was it October last year when we hosted Charlton here in the Youth Cup? It was a great, you know, we got a big crowd, you know, hoping for something similar and, you know, a bit more success, because I think we were unlucky against that game of Charlton looking back, and, you know, we could do much further this year in the Youth Cup.
100%, mate. I think we missed a couple of one-on-ones within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was like two or something in a row, weren't there?
Could have easily gone into the break 2-0 up. Obviously, they showed their class and, look, at the end of the day, we'll just try to go as far as we can and hopefully have a good season with all the youth teams, mate, to be honest with you. But yeah, they started off well last Tuesday night against we played on Tuesday night. Carl Shorten, thank you. I was only sat on the sideline.
Rain's getting to him. He's not used to this rain.
I should know that. I was on the sidelines. You started off well against Carl Shorten and hopefully you can push on.
It's really good to see the club sort of really advertising, you know, the games as well. Yeah, getting behind and publicising.
I think it's 100%, mate. I think it's good that because the fans are seeing players emerging into the first team, the likes of Joe Rye and Cavan and Evan during pre-season and people like that. They're actually more interested to come along to a pre-season, to a youth team game, because they want to see the next one that's coming along and who's going to be the next one that's going to emerge. And it's we've got some good talent amongst
it. Exciting times.
Yeah, 100%.
It's really exciting. So, Stu, moving on to like the other part of your job, obviously around the first team, what's it like this season so far? Like, obviously, a new, you know, we kept to say 60-70% of the squad. We've got some new faces. Is the team bond as ever as good as it was? And, or do you think it's still working on it? Or do you think it could be even better?
No, it's class, mate, to be quite honest. Yeah, it's the change room's buzzing, a good bunch of lads, good mixture of youngsters and semi-youngsters, as I like to call them, like Danny and Meeky and people like that, like Bubbly. And then you've got the old heads like Kane and Parso and Buddy that are still around, and Ollie that are kind of, and Azza that are leading the group. So, yeah, no, change room's in a really good place, mate. I think looking back over the last five games, I think we're more disappointed that we haven't picked up more points, I think, to be honest, which is a great place to be. That we've probably dropped points where we should have won, and like phenomenal start, and everybody's obviously really happy. So
Hinch seems to do really well with like seeming to find players that just fit really well into the team and into the club as a whole.
Yeah, he's very good at that. He's very, very good at that. We've got a thing up in the change room. If you get a chance, go and have a look at it, where it's the traits of a Worthing player and what we what we require them to be off the pitch, on the pitch, how we expect them to be around the teammates, around the ground, with fans, and it's just like the ultimate Worthing player. And I think you can pretty much say from 90% of the boys out there, they
got to mould the other 10% like into it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just the new guys will slowly get there, but yeah, he's so good at it. He's so good at it. And like Kane's come in and just fitted in seamlessly. Sammy, again, good lads. All the new guys that have come in have just worked really, really well.
I mean, we can't complain. Like, six games, three draws, three wins. I'm beating sixth in the league.
Six
games, yeah. Three home, three away. It's one of those things, I think, we said it just in the introduction to this podcast. You know, like, literally, if you'd said when we lifted that trophy last season, we could be at the beginning of September, being the playoff places. Yeah, we've got a hell of a long way to go. It must feel proud to see yourself involved around it and see like how well we're doing and how well we're taking to this league. Yeah, we need to sort of get a couple of those wins and be a bit more clinical at home. But, you know, once we get that sorted and make it Fortress Woodside again.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's the old saying of pick up as many wins at home as you can and the odd point away from home. But we've kind of, we've reversed that, haven't we, really? Frustrating, because I think some of the draws at home easily could have been wins and dominated games of football without really being clinical down the other end. I think it's clear for everybody to see. But yeah, mate, obviously so pleased with the start. So pleased with the start. But it's everybody's hard work. Not just the players, but obviously Bards and Sam and Cam and Nath and everybody behind the scenes that are just making everything work really well at the moment. How happy it is off the pitch represents itself on the pitch as well.
It shows.
So if the change room was bad, if the things weren't working in training, if people were annoyed with the coaches or players were annoyed with the coaches, it would show. And it's not, because everybody's a real happy bunch.
And it's like so early on in the season, and you know, a new level, it's all learning process.
Yeah, 100%. This is a new league to 90% of the boys that are out there. You know, I mean, no one's played. Our coaches haven't been in that league before. So everything's new. We're all learning and developing and knowing what to expect and picking up new styles and ways of playing. And yeah, it's exciting.
So learning about what to expect, what's it been like at away grounds? Obviously, three teams that are sort of around the National League level for a long time. But do you notice any experience, any difference or in your experience dealing with these away clubs on a match day, or is it pretty much the same as it was in the Isthmian?
Pretty much the same, to be honest with you. Obviously, our standards don't drop. Without sounding too cheesy, the standards for us is the same. We've acted exactly the same as we would do for the Isthmian League. So nothing changes from that point of view. Obviously, you go to places like Dartford and people at places like that where you just go, wow, this is a setup, a massive setup. But and where we want to get to and where we will get to. But in terms of what we expect, our standards, we keep on mentioning standards. Like, it's massive for all of us, as Nath, Hinch, me, Cam. We're all at high standards. We know what the standards are. The standards don't drop, and whoever we're playing. So yeah, it's good. It's been really good.
Fantastic. Last link, we got the FA Cup draw coming up. I think for one of the gaps, is it like around the 12th or 17th of the month? I think it is. Right. Are you hoping for a long away day? Are you hoping for a nice local draw? Or like, well, if you could have an ideal, what would it be? I mean, we were talking about a trip up north, I think. Would you like one of those or not really?
No, I just think a home tie, mate.
Yeah. Bognor?
Yeah, good team at home.
Dover.
Just a favourable tie, really. A tie that we can we feel confident going into, I guess. And have a nice run in the cup. I think the last few years haven't been too kind to us in terms of results, and when we had a long cup tie, that's run a set from the Sussex Junior Cup. So it'd be nice to get a good run in the cup at some point. So,
yeah, I think that's what we all want. I know Hinch said last season he wanted a run in the cup, and obviously it was ended early by was it Corinthians?
Well,
You're my favourite club. But yeah, hopefully we do this year. Stu, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
Speak to you next month.
Cheers, boys.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Always great to talk to Stu Evans. He loves a podcast.
We love Stu.
Do you remember that time last season where not for any like fault of my own, like, I didn't get him on and he didn't talk to me in the bar after, did he? And then Pete stirs the pot going, oh, Stu's not talking to you, you didn't get him on the podcast. He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, sorry, Stu.
He absolutely loves coming on.
He loves it.
We love him coming on.
Yeah, he loves it. But talking one of the other areas of the club, we haven't got any players on this month because John Donoghue's on a lovely jolly in the south of France, I think he said this week. So we haven't got him on this month's podcast, but they've had two games so far, the women's team. Two wins out of two.
I know, what a start.
Beat Dartford. I mean, and they beat Dulwich. I mean, Dartford was the one they couldn't beat last season.
Yeah.
4-2 win.
What a start, you know.
No, 2-1 win over, sorry. it was 2-1 over Dartford, it was 4-2 over Dulwich, wasn't it? And, you know, what an amazing start. And, you know, as we spoke on the first, the players and John, they said, we're looking to be at the top of that table at the end of the season. You can't get a better start than that, can you?
No, and, you know, there's been some changes in players in the women's team. But, you know, things are all looking good and on the up. And, yeah, it's a decent crowd on Sunday.
Was
it
150-odd, I think Ange said to us.
Yeah, you know.
Which beats, I think my friend Trevor went to Chichester City and only got 120 there.
Yeah, so the club are doing all they can to get the crowds in. And, you know, as we said last time, you know, we need to be picking up off the back of the Women's Euros triumph and getting in on that.
Yeah, no, I think 100% we do need to... I mean, as I said in the last podcast, I'd love to see a fit women's academy here, but it's like, all right, now where are we going to fit it in at the moment? You know, there's no room on a pitch on a weekday, but hopefully that's something that will come in the future, because obviously it's just the money generated around the club. They have to have some money to do it and get that money involved, and it costs money to set up. So hopefully one day we will see a women's academy, because I mean, there's some great... I'm starting to see a lot more young girls turn up to the men's game as well. And, I remember like I signed up to the Sports Association, a young girl, and she comes down with her dad on a match day and she brought her mum to a pre-season friendly. And mum was saying, like, is there a way of getting involved? And I said, obviously, right now, there's other areas around Worthing, there's like other teams that you can get involved with girls' football. But how good would it be if you could see a young, we've seen the training nights, we've gone to the FA Youth Cup and we support them. Imagine if we had like, you know, the women's equivalent and we could go down and support a young women's team like who. On the pathway, it's something I can see happening very soon.
But the club are also getting, you know, local girls teams involved around the club, and you know, they're getting them in on match days and meeting the players and things. So yeah, it's all going in the right direction.
Yeah, no, but if you want to get down to a women's game, it's free if you've got a season ticket. So come down and support. And I think it's £4 entry if you haven't for adults. I think it's a couple of quid or something like quid for kids or something like that. Might be wrong there, but come down and support the women's team. I think that also wraps up, you know, starting to wrap up the podcast now. Membership is still available for Sports Association. What do you get, Spencer? What is your membership card this year? Do you want to remind the people? Because I forgot.
I might have heard somewhere that you get a pin badge.
Mm. And who did that?
Some guy in China.
Yeah, but who sent the idea and the design towards?
Whose idea was it?
Yeah, Spencer. But you know, who was the design coordinator?
Design coordinator,
the limited edition. We've only got, I think, was it 41 badges left or something like that? Yeah, so you've got 41, not that you can stop if we get there and we have to order more. But now we've got 41 in hand or around that. So Trevor and Stephen will be at the turnstiles. I think the plan is until the AGM at the end of the month.
Yeah, next couple of September.
And we're going to try and get down to a women's game a couple of times. Unfortunately, for personal reasons, I couldn't get down there this past weekend to do some membership. But if you do want to sign up, go to Worthing FCSA website. All the details are on there, and you can pay via, you just contact us, send an email, and we can send you a link out. You can pay, and you can pick up a badge. My friend Mattia from Italy / Greece, I think he's the furthest away member so far, isn't he?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
I mean, taking a bit of Worthing to Fiorentina, not bad, is it? You know, Forza Worthing and all that. But if you want to beat Mattia and you want to be, you know, even further away, get in touch. You never know. I think I've seen when I've looked at the stats of this podcast, it is listened to randomly and occasionally in the US or some other parts of the world. That could be that Chicago mackerel.
Australia.
Yeah, Callum Keeley's parents. So, Callum Keeley's parents and family, if you fancy signing up. We will send one airmail. It'll probably cost us the same amount as it cost us to buy the badge, but, you know, we'll do it for you. Anyway, we'll digress.
I'm happy to deliver it in person if it's paid for.
Well, you know me, staff travel. You never know. Could put up with me for that long 9-day trip to Australia. There we go. Spencer, it's
another month to look ahead for September. It feels, I don't know if you feel it's like we're recording this on the, we're recording this on the 1st of September. No, 2nd, 1st? 1st September. Yeah, I'm getting confused. And I do feel that it's turned really autumnal. I mean, we've got this sort of thunder and lightning storm going on right now, but it did feel chilly today, didn't it? Like, it had that first sort of thing. The nights are starting to turn in a bit earlier. We're going to start getting those Tuesday games where it is going to be under the floodlights. An exciting month ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, just keep going as we've been going, I think. As, you know, like we've touched on earlier, we've already played quite a few of the so-called top teams on paper. So keep it going.
Any away games you're looking forward to? The most expensive club in the league, St Albans.
Is I know. It's like
16, 15. But when we played them in the FA Cup a few years ago, I think it was 15 quid then or something. But yeah, expensive, isn't it? You're starting to verge on league prices there, aren't you? Like,
yeah, and I noticed that today when I was looking at the ticket price. It took me back.
Looking forward to that. Any other games you're looking forward to this month?
It's a good journey, isn't it?
So I'm trying to think of the other games you're looking forward to this month. This is really bad. Good preparation by us.
I know.
You got the calendar.
Anyone, I think we're professional.
One. So if we got Spence, great preparation here. Google's our friend.
So St Albans away.
Yeah.
Tunbridge at home. Chesnell home. So
that's Deschon can go away.
Hemel away, which is almost St Albans again, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much up that part of the world.
Concord away.
Essex.
Lovely midweek trip to Canvey Island. Worthing
at we've also got the FA Cup, haven't we, which is drawn. Yep. Is it drawn on Monday? I think I'm right in saying so.
That's the league fixtures.
That could be a very exciting little away day. It'd be great if it was some team a little bit far-fetched and someone. That'd be good. We've always said it would be great to have a little run in the FA Cup. And I know, like, speaking to Adam, like, that's one of the things he always wants to do. Like, he obviously wants the promotion, but he'd love a little run in the Cup.
And it would be
good.
I think as a fan as well, you want a proper away day.
I mean, it's when we look at, like, things previous seasons, like when you've done, like, you've seen, Spurs playing Marine up north, and, like, you know, that's a proper non-league. People say, oh, it's during COVID, so people sitting in their back gardens. But I can imagine something similar would have happened here if we'd been during the COVID season. You would have had people sitting in their back gardens on Woodside Road. But I look at it and I think, you know, I'd love in a way that, like, we've got a couple of things. I think Bath people are penciling in for, like, later on in the season for a nice little weekend away and stuff like that. And, I mean, take the missy. The girls can all come with the boys. They can go off on, like, spa and stuff like that, Bath spas, and we'll go and football and Lager out, sit all up all weekends. That sound like a plan.
But, yeah, good cup game away up north somewhere.
That'd be good. Can you imagine
your friends at South Shields?
Oh, can you imagine that? South Shields versus Worthing. That would literally be the dream. Like Chris and, as I said, our friends at South Shields, that would be an amazing little achievement. But let's wait and see. Draws in Monday, I think it was. So we'll see after hopefully another 3 points against St Albans. It's been a great month, Spence.
Exciting month. Keep it going.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing it. Keep supporting the Rebels. I mean, I think the average has probably been about 1450 at the ground there at home.
1400, 1500.
Yeah, which has been amazing. So keep that up. Obviously, when the weather gets a bit colder and the nights draw in a little bit, you know, you do start seeing naturally dropping. But hopefully some good runs, and hopefully we'll be cementing our place in the National League, and it's a side not to be messed with and, you know, ignored. And Hinch, I'm sure we'll see some signings maybe to replace a couple of players that have gone in the next like few weeks or months. But remember, if you do want to join the Supporters Association, it is £5 for kids, £8 for adults. As I said, Steve and Trevor will be at the gates just past the turnstile signing you up for the end of the month. And if we have run out of badges, we will get your badge. We will order some more, but we've got about 40 badges left. So let's try and get rid of all those badges right now. Yep. It'd be fantastic.
Don't forget commentary on match days with our friend Pete.
Yeah, and also our friends Price Jones Electrical and MK Window Cleaning, who's still doing the promotion. If you contact him, go on the website, worthingfcsa.co.uk, our new website, and there is a section that says about the sponsors and rebelyell.live, and Mark will give you, I think he said, 50% off your first clean if you quote Rebel Yell. So surely that's good window cleaning. He does my windows. He does a bloody good job. As I said, last month I can eat my dinner off it, but I got abuse from you guys, so I won't say that again. Call me a window licker. So, you know, that's where we're starting to bring the podcast down again, like we do every time. But Pete's not here to join in the sort of downgrade of the podcast. But Spencer, it's been a pleasure as per usual. Pete, hope you're feeling better next month. Use a headache next month. We'll come knocking on your door and pick you up, or we'll do that. But, you know, all the best to you, mate. Hope you feel better soon. And tune in to Pete on a match day at rebelyell.live, this podcast, all your major podcast providers. And we will see you very soon from myself, James, and Spencer.
See ya.
Good night, everyone.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.